Oh Lord, what a powerful, powerful song. Out of the confusion, out of the chaos, your word blasts right in. Resounding, be still. Wait. Wait upon the Lord of all creation, the Lord of all power, the King of Kings. We will wait. And so this morning, Lord, come and meet us. I want to lift up a brother and sister who their dear daughter suddenly passed away this past week. Oh, Lord, it shouldn't be that way. Children preceding parents, it doesn't work that way typically. I pray that you surround this couple with your love, with your comfort, with your peace, and they would know the stillness and yet your strong voice. Oh Lord, we grieve over events of this past week, locally in Washington. We also grieve over a nation, Central African Republic, right between two countries where we have missionaries, Uganda and Guinea, and there is a civil war, there's rebels. Not just a couple people, but thousands have lost their lives. Over in Indonesia, a plane goes down and 62 people gone in a moment. Oh Lord, our hearts grieve. Oh Lord, work out your salvation. Work out your power. Work out your purposes in us as a church. We welcome you here. Be the teacher. Instruct us. Guide us by your Spirit and do what we cannot do ourselves. We pray this in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. It's good to be with you this morning. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. It is truly good that we can worship with all that we are, our heart, our mind, all our strength. It is good. Out of all languages, and there's a few in Asia that I've studied, all of them have a parameter of assessing what's good and bad. They have words like that. The idea of mediocrity, though, is not there typically. They'll use word pictures. It could be one we're going to look at a little bit later. It could be like chaff that blows away. It could be like burning grass. It's a flash fire that's there for a moment and then it's gone. Mediocrity. I bumped into this at one situation. One day I was doing ministry in the Philippines, and it was a travel day. I was out for a few miles, and I had 7 flat tires in one day. Fortunately, in the Philippines, there are lots of, they call them vulcanizers, who do repairs close by. So I didn't have to go far, but 7 times repairing the same tire. I had this sense of futility. And every time they'd be talking in their local dialect, I'd be tracking along, there'd be one word they would stick in. It was a borrowed word from English. Okay. Okay, sir. Okay. Okay usually means it's good to go. I came to realize that frequently in that particular culture, in this place between understanding good and bad, okay was rather lacking. It had inferior quality. 7 times getting this tire repaired. As I think about this idea of good and bad and mediocrity, as we step into 2021 in our second Sunday together, we want to put off mediocrity. We want nothing of mediocrity. At the end of the year, we looked at several times, one of the things that the Lord does not like is lukewarmness. He despises lukewarmness in the body of Christ. He longs for us to be hot. That's the good one. So often between good and cold, we settle for something in the middle. This morning, I want to set our focus on every desire for good. Let me lay out the way we want to go with this. I want to share a New Testament principle that outlines a sense of maybe making resolutions for you. And after sharing a New Testament principle, I'll look at an Old Testament portrait. An Old Testament portrait, to pack a picture, unpack a picture for us that hopefully will stick with you throughout this year. As I think about resolutions, some of you maybe have given up on resolutions. Maybe some of you dug in, you got a new resolution. Probably the best example for us on resolutions would be Jesus Christ. In Luke 9, it talks about as the time was coming near for him to be taken back up to heaven, it says he set his face resolutely towards Jerusalem, which was shocking for the disciples because they knew that meant pain. It meant suffering and death. The verse I want to look at, the New Testament principles in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. It's been talking about the Thessalonians. They're a church that's growing in their faith. It says more and more every day. They're abounding in love. So are you as this church, as a pastor of HPBC. I can say that's true of you. You are growing in your faith more and more every day. Paul prays a prayer in verse 11 of chapter 1, 2 Thessalonians. I just want to pray this over you right now as I read it. To this end, we always pray for you that our God would make you worthy of his calling and may fulfill every resolve for good and every work of faith by his power. So the name of our Lord Jesus Christ might be glorified in you and you in him according to the grace of our God and Lord Jesus Christ. Let me just make several observations. First is our responsibility. It talks about every resolve for good, every good work of faith. That's on us to be thinking and processing. Resolve is this idea of having desires, aspirations. As we have desires and aspirations, it talks about living worthy of the calling that God has on our life. So that's a good way of discerning our aspirations and desires. Is it honorable to God? Is it worthy of him? Having resolves, having desires that connect with God's purposes is something that's really good. Maybe you've given up on some of your resolutions over the past years. You've sat down, you've done resolutions, and you failed. Here's the good news out of this verse. We have our responsibility. We're supposed to be involved planning, thinking, processing, looking at how we can be honorable to God. But then it has God's role in this mix of your resolutions. As we read it, it talks about God making you worthy of his calling. So God's involved. God's helping you to accomplish this life that he's called you to. He's making it happen. In verse 11, it talks about him fulfilling every resolve you have. Him fulfilling. It's actually, he's bringing it to fruition. It doesn't stop there. He's making it happen. He's bringing it to fruition. It says it's by his power. Every resolve, every good work of faith, by his power. So if you've been doing the heavy lifting on your resolutions in the past, or you've got some resolutions you put forth before the Lord, seeking to live worthy of him, tie into his resources. He wants to bring those passions and desires to fruition. It's amazing, that verse. It has awesome results. It says, why? So that Jesus Christ might be glorified in you. It's actually, his glory is going to be focused on you as you fulfill, through his power and strength, these aspirations that are God-given. God's glory in you. It doesn't stop there. It talks about God's glory in you, and then one more addition, you in him. What's going on? As we seek to walk worthy in God's power, his glory becomes magnified in and through us, in you and him is this aspect of reflecting it back. As we see God working his purposes in us, we actually give him the praise and honor and the glory. So the glory comes down from God in his power, and we reflect it back up to him. As we reflect it back up into him, suddenly we have this great satisfaction of appreciating all that he's doing in our life. I submit that verse to you as a memory verse for this year. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 11 and 12. Your role, your planning, your desires, connecting with God and His purposes. His power active in us as a church, individually and together corporately as a church. I want to spend the remainder of our time in Psalm 1. Psalm 1 is probably one of the most popular psalms, right next to Psalm 23, well-known psalm. It has a magnificent portrait of one making life decisions that are rooted deeply in God. It has a tenacious faith that is, hopefully it's this example, this portrait in Psalms 1 will serve us this year to be the best year ever in our over 100-year history. We're not content with the past. We're looking forward. We're expecting of Jesus Christ's return. We want to live in a way that's worthy of Him. Psalms 1 reveals, let me just say, it starts off with the word blessed. Let's just jump right in the text. The very first word of Psalms 1, the very first word of the Psalter is blessed. The word, it's a pregnant word. It's just full of lots of meaning, very rich. But at the end of the day, it's God's goodness on you, on us as a community. God's word, scriptures. As we wait on the Lord, as we're still, we're reflecting in the word. And God's word is one of His primary means of blessing us. This word blessed, it's so full. It's in Hebrew language, it's actually a plural. You say, what's a plural? And as I've reflected on, as I've thought about it, as I've read others, here's my best go at it. A plural. It's like, I know Brent's into languages and grammar, and all, but especially Hebrew, it gets a little odd and different, but a plural noun? I thought plural, let's just jump right into it. It's the idea of, it's an intensifier. The plurality of it is this emphasis of intensifying the blessing on you. It's just as it's not only an intensifier of His goodness focused on you, the delight of His creation, but it also has an aspect of multiplying. When He's talking about this blessing, as it has plurality about it. It's multiplying one after another, day after day, God's faithfulness. His multiplication. God is not a tightwad. God just doesn't give out one blessing and here it is and hands it to you. No, He gives it to you to have intense joy. He gives it to you over and over again. As we jump in and we look at this, a blessed person, a blessed man, there's three things that He says no to. He says no to three things, and yet He says yes to other things. The things that He says no to, I would submit to you, are the ways of the world. It says he does not stand in the counsel of the wicked. He does not walk in the counsel of the wicked. He does not stand in the way of the sinners, or He does not sit in the seat of the scoffers. The wicked, the sinners, and the scoffers, they're all around. That's the way of the world. As I think about scoffers, I'm so mindful of the world around us, whether social media, news media, academics, politicians. They have the voices. All these voices are circulating around, and this person who's blessed by God, He says no to that one. He says no. Why? He has a determined yes that's rooted in God. It's rooted in His word. I will submit to you that to say no to the ways of the world that are so subtle, seeming so sweet, so makes sense. To say no to that takes great tenacity. It's a tenacious no that says no to that one. If you just say no, 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 you need to say yes to something. And the person who's blessed, let's track with what he says yes to. And I'm going to give you three resolves this morning, three determined yeses that are rooted in God that he puts forth. And the first resolve is this. Resolve one is to be saturated in the Word of God. It says in verse 2, that he meditates day and night on the Word of God. Being saturated in the Word, meditating. Some people study, you stumble over this aspect of the law of God. I think, God's Word, it's a bunch of rules and regulations, and it's limiting my life. I submit to you, it's much richer. He's got all sorts of promises. It reveals a person that's very, very good. He desires to bless us. As it talks about the law, it's not just the Decalogue of 10 commandments. Oh, yes, it's that one. It's also the law, the first five books of the Old Testament, but it's also the whole of Scripture. Meditating on Scripture day and night. Let me give you three practical ways of, as we think about meditation, meditating on God's Word. And the first is to read regularly. Where do we get that? Day and night. You get up in the morning, you start your time with the Lord. At bedtime, you finish the day with the Lord. Some of you may have attempted read-throughs of the Scriptures and maybe failed. Others, you faithfully have gone through the Bible year after year for decades. We never get tired of Scripture. We never get tired of it. But if you've been one that's tried and have some failure of not being able to read through God's Word regularly, remember 2 Thessalonians. Maybe you've been doing the heavy lifting. Reading is like some other book. You're reading it and you're reading it. I have to. If it's God's Word, if it's God who's working in and through you to accomplish, He's working out to bring it to fruition, it's His power that's going to help you. That have to becomes a want to. You want to be in the Word morning and evening. It's a desire. You have it deep down in your heart. So if you're going to be reading through, let me suggest you can start from Genesis and read all the way through. That's one way to do it. That's the way most of us read books. If you read three chapters a day for 365 days, you will get through the Old Testament. A good way, if you're struggling with this, read one chapter in the Old Testament, one in the New Testament, say Genesis and Matthew. And the third area you want to read is Psalms or Proverbs every day. Old Testament chapter, New Testament chapter, and a psalm or proverb. Besides reading regularly, you want to read slowly. Oh yeah, you got to read those three chapters, so go ahead and do your read through. But he says he meditates. This man who's blessed, he meditates. So as he reads through three chapters, as there's a verse that pops off the page, maybe it's a promise, maybe it's an example of a person who's just really walking in faith, or maybe they've made some bad decisions. You're saying, I want to avoid that one, but you camp down on that when you meditate. And so you want to read slowly when it comes to when God's Spirit starts addressing and speaking to you about a certain area. Camp down. Then you want to read for retention. There comes a point in time where as you're reflecting and reading God's Word, as the psalmist would say, you want to hide it in my heart so I don't sin. If you don't remember it and take it in and spend time reflecting and meditating on it, chances are you're going to stumble and fall. Then you're going to fall into sin when temptation comes, when those subtle, wise voices of media are washing over. He's like, well, that's right. No, what does God's Word say? That's the one that's going to be anchoring your point of truth. So you want to be memorizing Scripture. Read regularly, slowly, read for remembrance. In Psalms 1, there's a beautiful portrait. This person who is meditating on God's Word day and night, he is like a tree planted by streams of water. As a tree needs water, as a tree needs light and photosynthesis just to survive, God is our very source. His Word He's given to us is important. And it's this aspect of these, our personal lives, our private world, that's that part that's the roots down under the soil. People don't see that one. They see the tree, they see the leaves, they see the fruit. It's based on the roots, the private one's private life that people don't see. Those roots are pressed down. That's where we want to be saturated in the Word, saturated in the Word. I will tell you, it's how you're being soaked. Those roots are soaked in that moisture. It's by the river. It's not a little splash. It's not a sprinkle. It's not an occasional sip of God's Word. It's being saturated in the Word. It's the living Word of God. Someone might accuse us as people of the book, and do you worship the book? Do you worship the Bible? No. It's the author of the book is what we worship. But he's given us his revelation, his oracles, the very oracles of God is revealed, who he is, what he's like, what his values are, what his passions are, what brings pleasure to him, how to have a relationship with him. It's rich. No, we don't worship the book, but the book is very important because it's a pathway for understanding and knowing God. So let's saturate ourselves in the Word and be reading regularly, reflectively, and with retention. So I'm going to give you three yeses, or three strong yeses that are resolves. So we want to be saturated. The second resolve is to savor the Savior. So where do you get that? Verse 2, it talks about his delight in the law of God. Delight. It's this intense gratification. It's a great, great satisfaction, yes, in a book, but it's the person of the book. Don't get stuck in the precept. Don't get stuck in the principle. Get your focus up on Jesus, on the person who gave the scriptures. He's our greatest satisfaction. He's the source. He's the truth. He's grace. This is where Christianity surpasses any other kind of religion. Yeah, religions, they have rules, they got regulations. This one here, we're talking about as people of the book, people of Jesus Christ, we are ones who are devoted to the living God. We want to worship him. Why? Because of all that he has done. He loved us first, so we want to love him. It is a matter of our affections. As we think about this word delight, I like the way John 3 unpacks this. He talks about the light came into the world, but they loved darkness more than the light. They made a decision. The light came. Jesus came, and they loved that one more. Their affections were more oriented towards the world, so much so they could not give themselves over to have affections for Jesus Christ. When we're born again, God gives us new passions. God gives us new desires. He gives us new capacities to see him and enjoy him, to know him in his fullness. Savoring involves appreciating. In my relationship with my wife, Carol, I gotta admit, you gotta be intentional in this relationship with my affections for Carol. It has to be intentional because if I happen to, it's choices. But if I'm lean with my words, if I'm lean with my time, if I'm really lean with my affections, this relationship I have with my wife diminishes into maintenance. It becomes tepid, lukewarm, loveless. But as I'm generous, with time, as I'm generous with words, as I'm generous with affections towards Carol, it thrives. It becomes an exciting relationship. And that's just on a human level, how much more for our relationship with Jesus Christ who's deserving of all our affection. We have to work at it, but in that work, realize God's helping us. The joy factor, it's not so much we have to crank it up and crank up joy. No, it's as we walk in obedience with Jesus Christ, as we're in the Word, the joy comes out. The glory is filtering right at us, and we reflect it back. It's got this reciprocal relationship. But we got to be intentional. It just doesn't happen passively. I like the way Jeremiah puts it. He's talking about these affections. He talks about, what do you boast about? Boasting? What are you proud about? Well, he says, don't boast about your wisdom. You think you're a wise guy? Don't boast about being a buff, strong guy. Don't boast about your portfolio. That'd be stupid. He says, here's the things you want to boast about. Boast about this, that they have the understanding to know me, the one who is kind, the one who is just, the one who is righteous. In these I delight. There's that word delight again. Savoring Jesus is a lot more than information. It's a lot more than awareness of religion, Jesus put it this way. This is eternal life. Eternal life is this, that you know the living God in Jesus Christ. No, it's a relationship. It's not about facts. It's about relationship, being in his presence, being still, enjoying him in his fullness, so that regardless of what's going on around us, we have hope, we have peace, we have a deep anchor. Let me just read several psalms. We're in Psalms 1, but I just want to read a couple psalms that highlight. We were singing about these earlier. Psalm 16. You make known to me the paths of life, and you will fill me with joy in your presence. We have a God who's intense with joy, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. Psalm 42. As a deer pants for flowing streams, so my soul pants for you, the living God. Psalm 73. Whom have I in heaven but you? There's nothing on earth I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart, they cry out, they may fail, but God is the strength of my heart, my portion forever and ever. Well, got to get moving. We've talked about saturated, being saturated in the Word of God. We talked about savoring Jesus Christ. The last resolve I want to give you to focus on as a church for this year, 2021, to make it fantastic, is this idea of showing God's glory through you. Yes, saturated, savoring. Now we're going to show God's grace to others. Where do I get that out of Psalms 1? It talks about yielding its fruit in season. It's bearing fruit. What is this fruit that is talked about in this tree that's planted by streams of living water? It's bearing fruit, fruit of kindness, gentleness, forgiveness, humility, bearing with one another, sharing the gospel with someone who's lost and dying and going to hell, and you bring hope. They're desperate for counsel from God. They need the voice of God, and you share the gospel. That's the fruit. It yields fruit in season. I suspect Jesus had this passage, Psalms 1, when he's talking about John 15. He's talking about the vine and the branches. So he changes a little bit. Instead of a fruit tree, it's a vineyard. And he goes on in verse 4 and 5. He repeats it two times. It's like, are we slow? Are we dense? And the answer is yes, we are dull. But it talks about, if you are in me, I am in you. If that's true, you can accomplish significant things. Verse 6, if I'm not in you, and you're not in me, you're like a branch that's going to wither away. Then it goes on. If I am in you, and my word is in you, ask whatever you wish. Whatever you wish, remember, it's connecting with living worthy of God. And what's the purpose? So you might bear much fruit. Why? For his glory. If we miss it right there in verse 7 and 8, you'll pick it up again in verse 16. He says, you didn't call me. He says, I called you. I appointed you. And why did he appoint us? To go and bear fruit for his glory. Yielding, bearing fruit, it's rich. Another picture of this idea of basically showing God's grace is, it says, this tree that's growing, it's fruit-bearing, it's green with leaves, and its leaves do not wither. Regardless of the circumstances around us, this is really relevant, very relevant. This life does not wither, regardless of what's going on, whether there's a drought, whether there's a hurricane, whether there's a tornado swirling around, the leaf does not wither. Why? It's rooted deep in God's word. It's savoring the nutrients that come from God himself, living in and through his power. There's a story of an old missionary that was a part of an organization, CIM, China Inland Mission. His name is Arthur Matthews. Arthur and his wife, I think it's Mildred and Lila, the daughter, in 1949 were placed in a concentration camp. It was a major turmoil in Chinese culture and history, and he was thrown in a concentration camp. It was tough skating. There was no heat. There was very little food. The little food they did have, the only way they had to cook it was over human feces. That's the only way they could live by. And out of their poverty, he wrote a book about God's grace in the midst of his pain. And the title of the book is based on this very verse. Green leaf in drought time. He would spend 4 years in that concentration camp. That's drought. Watching his daughter suffer, watching his wife emaciated. That was not the end. He went on to have a very fruitful ministry after that. As we contemplate God in 2021, let's use every desire for good. Let's allow that promise he said that he will make us worthy, that he will fulfill every resolve for good that you have. Every work of faith, he will do it by his power for his glory in you. So it goes back to him, so he's even more glorified. As a church, let's be saturated in the word. Let's savor and cherish Jesus more than ever. As a church, let's set our sights on bearing fruit for God. Father in heaven, we just thank you so much for your goodness, your faithfulness. We thank you for your word. Your word is good. Your word is satisfying. Your word is richer than gold. It is sweeter than honey. We know from our past experience you have been faithful. And as we look forward to this coming week, months, and this year, oh Lord, accomplish the things that you want to do in and through us as a church. May this be the best year ever in our history. For your glory, we pray this. Amen.